ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट फॉर ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद फाउंडर आचार्य ऑफ इस्कॉन. लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव इज एक्सप्लेनिंग अबाउट एनिमीज, द सिक्स enemies of the conditioned soul are lust, that kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya means lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. These are all enemies because as long as these enemies are prominent within our hearts, then we cannot understand what is our real position, that we are servants of Krishna. Kam krodha lobha moha esha bhavishta kishe pave mor Sri Sri Radha Krishna. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that as long as these enemies are there, lust, anger, greed, then how will it be possible to attain the service of Radha and Krishna? It's not possible. Therefore, the yogi, he must be very careful to control this lust, anger, greed, and all the bad qualities, which are all produced from, they all ultimately come from envy of Krishna. As spiritual souls, our eternal position is to love Krishna. But when that love of Krishna becomes perverted into lust, the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, then hoya maya das karinana obhilash, becoming the servant of maya, we have innumerable desires which expand the tree of lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, madness. So yoga means yoga indriya sangyamya. Yoga means to control the senses. The senses are centered on the mind. If the mind is controlled, then the other senses are controlled. But if the mind is not controlled, then sammohat smriti vibhramaha, for illusion and illusion and more illusion, complete illusion. Yogi means someone who wants to come out of illusion. He has seen that there is this whole material existence is simply one of suffering. Therefore he makes a program under the direction of Guru, he makes a program how to get free from this illusion. Yoga means the process controlling the senses so that the original consciousness can be uncovered, so that we can understand our original position as servant of Krishna. Of course, yogi, there are different kinds of yogis. Generally when we think of yogi, we think of the Ashtanga yogi who is rigorously controlling the mind. But this process is there also in bhakti yoga. There's positive process and negative process. Yama niyama means initial processes. Before we come to the higher levels or the actual level of understanding Krishna, there are some preliminary measures which are meant to bring down the temperature of material madness. If someone has a very high fever, sometimes they give some injection just to bring down the fever. Then there's, otherwise you can't even treat the patient, he's so much sick. So first of all, there are some restrictions to control the mind. The yogi, their whole life is one of restriction. Ashtanga yogi, he simply goes to the forest or goes to the Himalayas, and there's nothing there to incite his lust, anger, or greed. That's the idea. Why the yogis, why do they go away to such a place? Because there's nothing to incite their lust, anger, greed, and they can concentrate fully on their sadhana. So they go to such a place. But even then, they go to such a place, but they bring their mind with them. Therefore, the yogi is being instructed, control your mind, because even though you are completely detached from any anything which can make the senses come alive, that's called udipan. That's for Krishna. What's the English? Stimulation, anything which can stimulate. Yeah, that's the other way. This is materialistic udipan, stimulus. Stimulus for even though you may be away from such stimuli, the mind is there. We see the story of Sobhari Muni. He was really serious about getting free from all kinds of stimuli. He went in the river. No one's going to disturb you in the river. He was sitting in the river meditating. But even then, there's some little thought in the mind, and immediately he thought of sex life and he completely fell down. How dangerous is the mind? Therefore, word is given here, chidram. Chidram means a small hole. There's a little hole. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses. If you slightly open the door, they put their foot in and they're in, or salesmen. Their foot is in, and just in. And it much... Once their foot is in, you can push them out, but it's more difficult. It's more... Once they're in, it's more difficult, and then they'll come in a bit more and a bit more, and before you know it, you also become a Jehovah's Witness. That's what happens. Or the salesman, he comes and sells you some completely useless thing which you don't need, but he comes in, he's nice, he smiles. Just a little crack. Chidra means a little crack. Get in, and the whole thing goes. Just like if there's some dam, they'll build a huge dam. There'll be so much water piling up, it's holding a little crack, and then it'll come, and the pressure, and the whole thing will collapse, and there'll be a huge flood, and the whole thing is spoiled. So the mind is like that, very dangerous. Don't trust the mind. This is the instruction being given here. Because nityam dadati kamasya, the mind is always giving some lusty impetus. Therefore we should not think, now I am safe. Now I have conquered over Maya. Maya cannot touch me, said the fool. Who we've heard. You never heard anyone said that? Maya cannot touch me. Someone used to say that. He's fully bound up in Maya. He used to say, Maya cannot touch me. Someone who says, Maya cannot touch me. Of course, Krishna, he can say that. But even an advanced devotee, even if someone comes, he's completely absorbed in his service. But if he thinks like that, he's immediately in a very dangerous position. And there are many examples given in Shastra of advanced devotees who have fallen from their position of advanced devotional service because they gave a little lenience to the mind. They just said, all right, now I'm safe. I've been chanting Hare Krishna 20 years. I follow sadhana very strictly. So now I can be a little bit loose. It doesn't matter. I don't have to follow all these things very carefully. Just a little indulgence of them. Now I'm safe. As soon as someone thinks I'm safe, he's immediately unsafe. Prabhupada, maybe you know this story. He was, once he told a group of his disciples, any one of you can fall down, but I cannot fall down. Just, usually a devotee is very humble, but just to put things in perspective, sometimes Prabhupada would tell what is the actual position. Then, sometime later, one devotee who had been present there, he saw Prabhupada praying to the deities, and he was bold enough to ask Prabhupada what he was praying. It's a pretty bold thing to ask. So Prabhupada said, I was praying to Srimati Radharani that I will never fall down. So then they asked, but Prabhupada, you said you could never fall down. Prabhupada said, because I'm always praying that I can't fall down. Therefore I won't fall down. Because the strength comes from Krishna. The yogi, the Ashtanga yogi, he's thinking that the strength comes from me by controlling. Like I'm controlling my breathing. I'm rigidly controlling the mind, half closed, don't look at anything. Control. It's just like sitting on top, you want to pass stool and you're just holding it like that. So he's controlling the mind. But sometimes it comes out, even though you're trying hard. So like that someone may think, by my own strength I am controlling. But we are weak and Maya is very strong. Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Maya is very difficult to overcome. Therefore, mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. One who surrenders to Krishna, he can cross over Maya. How? By taking strength from Krishna. Krishna helps us. Otherwise, by ourselves, in front of Maya, you see Maya, you've seen the picture, she's sitting on that tiger with 10 hands, with his weapons. And there's some demon who thought he was very strong, and she's grabbing him by the head, and ready to cut off his head. Because Maya is more strong. Even if you think I'm strong with 2 hands, Maya's got 10 hands. And she's the controller of the material energy. She's very, very powerful. But Krishna is more powerful. So someone who surrenders to Krishna gets help from Krishna. Therefore, the Bhagavatam recommends, take Achyuta Balla, take strength from Krishna and Balaram. Take the sword of knowledge from the spiritual master and get strength from Krishna and Balaram and conquer over Maya. Actually, we can't conquer over Maya, but by Krishna's grace, we can be released from Maya. But there has to be some attempt by ourselves also. This is a ongoing philosophical question. Is it by the grace of God that we are delivered, or is it by our own endeavor? So actually it's by the grace of God, because by ourselves we cannot be released from Maya. But we have to do something on our part to invoke the mercy of God. Just like we say, causeless mercy. Causeless mercy means, well, if it's causeless mercy, then why should I do anything to try to get the mercy? I'll just wait. Many times we hear this, especially from our Hindu friends, that when God is merciful to me, then I will surrender to Him. When He wants. In the meantime, He hasn't come in front of me and bowed down before me and asked me to surrender to Him. So in the meantime, I'll go on with my material life. Because God doesn't want me to surrender. He hasn't asked me yet. But God is asking us through Shastra, through devotees. He's again and again demanding, Sarvadhamantarityajya, Mamekam Sharanam Raja, surrender to me. He's demanding you surrender to me. And He's giving the means also. The means is to get His mercy. How to get His mercy? Through Guru Parampara. We have to act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased to give us His mercy. Prabhupada gave that example. What is causeless mercy? I'll give you $100. No reason, I just see. Here's $100. But we also have to put out our hand and take it. Causelessly the mercy is being given. Here's $100. Or here's Krishna consciousness. But we have to do this much. We have to do what is required to accept it. Just like required to accept a gift of $100, you put out your hand and you take it. So required to accept Krishna consciousness, there are some conditions to receive the mercy of Krishna. To receive the mercy, one has to demonstrate his sincerity by attempting to overcome his internal enemies. We cannot have Krishna and Maya at the same time. If we think I'll be Krishna conscious and I'll also enjoy material life, then there's no question of actual Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Krishna consciousness means to come to the fully purified state. Fully purified state means freed from lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion. So we can conquer over these by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, but we have to make our own, some endeavor to show that we actually want to conquer over this. Otherwise, if the mind is just like, allowed to wander like an unbridled horse, then we'll be dragged here and there. So that much control should be there. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindaya. The very first thing in Krishna consciousness means to decide that we want to be Krishna conscious. To fix the mind on Krishna. To make the endeavor to fix the mind on Krishna. That much desire has to be there. Otherwise, if we at the same time harbor material desires, it's like having a fire, you're trying to build up a fire. One side you're pouring on kerosene, and the other side you're pouring on water. You just get a lot of smoke. You don't get a nice blazing fire. So in this way we have to control one side, the positive, that we are chanting Hare Krishna, we're taking darshan of Radha Nandanishwar, we're associating with the devotees. These are all positive stimuli for our Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, we have to control the other side. We're taking darshan of Radha Nandanishwar. That means we shouldn't take darshan, we should control the mind so that we're not wanting to take darshan, just like you'll see all over London, so many advertisements, and you'll see so many women dressed just minimum. So this control has to be there. Decide, I want to be Krishna conscious, what do I have to do? Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya bharajanam. Do what is favorable to become Krishna conscious and give up those things which will block our Krishna consciousness. So we should know that if we allow the eyes to wander here and there, if we allow the mind to wander here and there, then our Krishna consciousness will be spoiled. There's no question of progress. We may even fall down completely from the position of Krishna consciousness, this most exalted position that we have been so much luckily allowed to take part in, to take part in the chanting of Hare Krishna. But if we're not controlling the mind, then we see there are many cases, it's not unusual. Prabhupada said, don't be surprised if anyone goes away from this movement, be surprised if anyone stays. Because it's a very difficult age. The whole current of modern society is completely against what is needed to advance in Krishna consciousness. Just like the example is given here of uncontrolled women. In traditional cultures throughout the world, God-centered cultures, there is restriction on mixing between men and women. Very strong restrictions. You just can't walk up to anyone. Here in London, maybe you can just walk up in a shop to some young girl or even older and say, hello, how are you? And if she responds, oh, ha, ha. You never saw her before in your life. And then I had this experience recently on a plane. I was shocked, actually. I was just on a plane, and the man was, one lady was, she was in a seat, and her husband had gone, been put in another seat, and I was sitting between this lady and a man, and he started, her husband was just a few rows away, but he couldn't see her. And he just started chatting her up right there and then. And this is modern society. And what does it mean? Fall down.
Why didn't you offer him your seat?
I did. I didn't want to be in the middle of it. I was at the side of it. And I said, hey man, why don't you just... I was thinking whether to go and tell the husband, but I thought, I don't know. You know, he's probably chatting up the girl next to him. So this is modern society. The whole atmosphere is very non-conducive, opposite. The whole current of modern society is exactly opposite of what is required for advancing Krishna consciousness. That there should be restriction, control. The whole modern society means that as much as you become unrestricted and uncontrolled, that's considered to be advanced. If a man can have 6 or 7 girlfriends, or even if he can float, if he can juggle 2 or 3 at a time, that's considered to be something very wonderful. And then the karma, this word is given here, kam, this is a very, very important word we'll see coming up in the Shastra again and again. Kam means lust. So if that is not controlled, then what happens? People become insane. People are already insane in the modern age. Sorry, people are already insane in the material world. But when that lust is allowed to be inflamed more and more, then people actually become insane. Because what happens is, you want to enjoy, the spirit of enjoying, the enjoying spirit increases more and more. But that just increases your frustration more and more. Because the more you try to enjoy, you find you can't enjoy. Actually, there's no enjoyment. There's no real enjoyment, despite all the advertisement. There's no actual enjoyment in fulfilling your lust and greed. So, but because people have got no information, they have no higher taste of anything better, then they just try more and more in different ways. And just I'm arriving in London and coming from India, where they're also very lusty and they're promoting lust more and more. But then you arrive in England and you see some billboard advertising weird sex. I don't know what it was, but I just happened to see it. What they're advertising, I don't know. And then you see in the newspaper, now they want to make the age of consent from homosexuals down from 18 to 60. What is this? It means, homosexuality means they've just become more and more lusty. That any hole, whatever, just use it. They're so... So unrestricted. Questions and comments afterwards, please. I'm sure you've got wonderful things to say, but please hold on. So modern society is promoting lust more and more, and actually people become insane, just like homosexuality. It's insane. Or now they're so much concerned about child abuse. It's macabre. That's the word. Something very horrible, that for your lusty desires you can spoil someone's whole, they're young and they become they become, young girl becomes completely, or boy becomes completely disturbed because someone wants to let out their uncontrolled lust. People have no discrimination. For the sake of fulfilling that lusty desire, they can, this example is given here, an unchaste woman. She doesn't care. She has children, she has husband, their whole life will be spoiled, they'll be so much upset, doesn't care because she has some lusty desire to fulfill. And this is being promoted in the modern age. What was previously considered something disgraceful, if someone divorces, gets remarried, or has children before marriage, now it's considered normal. It's promoted by the government. The government is promoting prostitution. Unmarried mother, all right, you take some allowance, the government will give you money. That means they're promoting prostitution. Rather, the husband should take responsibility. Who is producing the child, he should take responsibility. But now, oh, don't worry, the government will take responsibility. So the man will run off. Okay, let's find another one. So this is being promoted as something, all right, that we have lusty desires, why not fulfill them? Because nate vidu swartha gatim vishnum, they don't know what is the purpose of life. They don't know that the goal of life is to understand God, and to understand Him, we have to become pure. That means controlling these lusty, greedy desires. But instead, they want to indulge in them more and more. And they actually, as I was saying, they become insane. I think last year I was reading that 1 in 5 people are committed to a psychiatric institution in Britain in their lives. It's very high. Well, that was probably before. I think it was Mrs. Thatcher closed down all the mental homes. So now you just see them all. Again, coming into London, one of the first things I see is someone walking around the street, talking to himself. A man should be, you know, I don't know, a man may be very dangerous. He's obviously insane, but he's walking around the streets. So what happens when the lust, greed, anger, all these things, they're allowed to be indulged, then the whole society becomes more and more insane. And if you want to summarize what is the condition of modern society in one word, insanity is a very good, very appropriate word, very concisely. Insanely, this whole big modern civilization, all night cars here, running there, building big buildings, knocking them down again. What for? What is the necessity? If we tell people you can live simply with, what do you need? Food, clothing, shelter. And family life, most people want. All right, you can have it. We don't need such a complex society that someone, they have the all the time on their cellular phone because they don't want to waste 1 second while they're driving along. And they want to utilize every moment of time for making money. What for? What is the purpose? What is the gain? You get more money and then you get more prestige and then you enjoy sex. You can. That's all. At the end of it all, what is there? Sex, more sex, more sex. And satisfaction, not in the slightest, but we don't even have time to think about whether we should be satisfied or not. So insane society, because they're promoting that which should be controlled. Kamas, krodhas, tatha, lobhas, etat trayam. What is that? Tyago bhavati. Krishna tells us very plainly, Trividham narakasya idam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. There are 3 gates to hell, which they spoil the soul, they spoil spiritual understanding. Lust, anger and greed. Therefore an intelligent person should give them up. But the modern society, what is it doing? It's promoting lust, anger and greed. The whole advertisements, the way people dress, the way they behave, the way people behave with each other, it's all for promoting lust and greed. Get more money. Everything's based how you can get more money. Your prestige increases. People are not satisfied. Never satisfied. How can they be satisfied? So many advertisements are there. Buy this, buy that, buy something else. Bring out something new. New invention. You should have it in your home. Something new. Buy it. Work hard. Get more money. Buy it. Increasing greed. And then you have to show off. I'm dressed so nicely. I have such and such a car. Even a car, a necessity of modern life. You can have a little small car which goes but here and there, but you have to spend £20,000 on a big flashy car so you can impress other people. You become greedy to show, I'm better than you, because you have a little rinky-dink car and I have a new Jaguar. You see at the stop lights, the people driving a Jaguar or BMW. And they're looking at us. So puffed up because I'm driving, it's better coming. So greed and anger. Lust and greed. The natural result is anger. After karma comes krodh, because the lust is not satisfied, then you become frustrated, you become angry. And there's so much vritta hinsa that's mentioned in Bhagavatam. Symptom of Kali Yuga, prominent symptom of Kali Yuga. Unnecessary violence. People take pleasure in giving pain to others. Paradukha sukhi. An elevated person is paradukha dukhi. He becomes distressed by seeing the distress of others. But a demon, he becomes happy in seeing the distress of others. And you see, unnecessarily they become violent. There's so many wars all over the world. They're all cooked up for making some money. Someone's making some money. The wars, and just in individual life, there's you'll find what are these football supporters, unnecessary. They have no reason to fight with each other. But they just, that's their pleasure. They take pleasure just showing how big and strong we can beat you. And even not just physical violence, but especially in this competitive society, everyone's trying to put everyone else down and cut them down. Especially in England, it goes on very subtly, the way people are always trying to manipulate and put someone down and put them up and show the fault of someone else. And all the humor and jokes, it's all just trying to make someone look foolish and point out their faults. It's a very nasty society because it's based on calm, based on this lust. Everything is simply based on how you can fulfill your lusty desire. Show yourself to be bigger than the other. Then the opposite sex will be attracted. Show yourself to be better. Just like the dogs. The bitch is there in heat. All the dogs are barking. Who can bark the loudest and make the biggest show? They enjoy. So same thing. It's the same thing. Why do they have to have this Jaguar car? They don't have a little car to show, I'm bigger than you. I'm better than you. Why do they have... Others should exercise and make big muscles. I'm stronger than you. I'm better than you. Just to show off. That's all. Completely misdirected modern civilization. And the result is that insanity. People be more and more insanity. That's all. Just one layer after another. Whatever you see, the newspaper, the way people, the television, whatever it is, it's just layer upon layer of insanity. Because people don't know what is the goal of life, which is Krishna. So, here in our Krishna Conscious Movement, we have a different goal of life. If we read this out to a normal person, a normal so-called madman, there'll be, if you read this, they can't understand. What is this about controlling the mind? Of course, they also have some idea. You have to control your mind so you can how you can concentrate more, so you can do your business, get your business better. But it's all for the same purpose of enjoying sex. But the idea of controlling the mind and removing it from the sense objects, and the women should be controlled. Yeah, people will think, yeah, they should be. If they read this, they should be controlled by me, they will think. But the idea that they should be controlled, and you should be controlled also, so that you can live a sane life, respectable life, and advance in Krishna consciousness. These things, it's like someone came from the moon or something, if we tell these kind of things. Completely different goal of life. In our Krishna consciousness moon, here we are in Soho Street. One side is Oxford Street and the other side is Soho. And this is the greed department and that's the lust department. That's all. And we're in the middle. We're in the middle and this is the Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Something different. So we have to understand this is something different. We're not to be carried away by this modern society, very sinful. We should understand. Don't think that it's all normal, karmis are very nice. Alright, okay. You're nice because you're a devotee of Krishna inside there. But the way people are going on, we should understand this is a very sinful society. It's not that everything's alright, everything's nice, and we should know that these people, they're very, very unfortunate because they're wrapped up by lust, greed and anger. We should be very careful to hear the Bhagavatam, hear these things from Prabhupada and get the right idea. Otherwise, the whole current of modern life will sweep us away. Even their so-called niceness of the karmis, it's just some social arrangement so that they can adjust each other and go on without disturbing each other too much and enjoy sense gratification. Even all their, they want peace in the world. They have United Nations meeting and peace. Why do they want peace? So they can enjoy sense gratification undisturbed. We are, let it, no war, and we'll live peacefully and build a new slaughterhouse. And they have no idea. They are most misdirected. So we should be very careful to control our minds. Hear Bhagavatam and get our mind in right order, right shape. That the real goal of life is to understand Krishna. We're not this body. There's no enjoyment from this body. The whole modern civilization going on. How to control, how to enjoy the body. First thing we have to understand, there's nothing, no enjoyment there. Therefore, hear this Bhagavatam every day and get it clear. Beat the mind. The mind will immediately give some chidra, some little crack. Enjoy. Everyone else is enjoying. Why shouldn't I enjoy? No. Boom, hit it with a shoe. You rascal. I want to enjoy. Smash it. You can't enjoy. You can enjoy by serving Krishna, offering everything to Krishna. Let Krishna enjoy. Bring everything to Krishna. All the beautiful women should be enjoyed by Krishna. And all the men, they should also be enjoyed by Krishna. And how will Krishna enjoy? Not some mundane lust, but Krishna will enjoy by reciprocation of loving feelings, which has got nothing to do with the low-class, mean lust of this material world. This we should understand very, very clearly. That's another pitfall on the path of devotional life. Mistaking that this Radha Krishna Leela is something like the mundane lust of this material world. And then what happens, people who without controlling their mind and senses fully, they want to hear all about the elevated pastimes of Radha and Krishna, how they're kissing and so many things, because they don't understand what is the Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, what is the purely spiritual platform of that. Then simply, if they take it as something we will hear about, I will enjoy hearing about this, instead of thinking how I will enjoy serving Radha and Krishna. They think, I will enjoy, let me enjoy hearing about this. So the enjoying spirit is there, and that will again be converted into the desire to that I will enjoy. Krishna is enjoying girls, then I will also enjoy. And that becomes sahajya. Taking everything cheaply and falling down. So controlling the mind. We don't even know how the mind should be controlled. That's the first problem. Because we're so much in illusion. Therefore we have to hear regularly, exactly. This is the path of Krishna consciousness. Exactly just like this. Not like that. Not a little bit deviation even. Because if there's a little bit deviation, then eventually just like going on a tangent. You go 0.1 of a degree off. The further you go, you become further. The further you go off on a tangential path, the further away you get from the actual goal, and you miss the goal. Just like you're aiming with the arrow at the target. And just even if you're slightly away from the bullseye, then you miss, because between here, where you're shooting, and the target, it appears when you're shooting, yes, I'm shooting at the target, but you're slightly out, and you miss. And this is as good as a mile. So don't miss going back to Godhead. Everyone who is taken to Krishna consciousness can go back to Godhead if they keep the mind fixed on Krishna. And that requires that we regularly have to hear this, that we are not this body, we're eternal spirit soul. There's no enjoyment in this body, absolutely zero, not even slightly. There's nothing to be enjoyed. This sense gratification is a mistake. These things we have to hear again and again and again. Keep the mind fixed, keep the mind very coolly. Otherwise the lust will immediately burn up, greed, anger, and we'll be off, away from Krishna consciousness. So very, keep very sober. Vishaheta dhira. Who can tolerate this itching sensation, the desire? Let me enjoy. Someone who is very subdued, controlled in his mental activities. So chanting, that's been mentioned. How we can be free from the allurement of women. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra offenselessly. Fix the mind on Krishna. Don't be deviated. Read. We should read this regularly the dangers of material life. Don't be complacent that now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, everything's okay, the mind's under control. No, no. The complacency that comes before fall down. So always very, very careful, controlling. Control what you don't talk nonsense. Don't allow the eyes to wander, don't allow the mind to wander. Keep everything under control. How will we do that? Negative process, keep everything under control. And then positive process, see the deities of Krishna. Fix the mind on service to Krishna. What is our service to Krishna? What are we going to do in Krishna's service in this lifetime? Positive process. And if just like a materialistic person, he may be absorbed so much in something he doesn't notice. What's just that example is given in Nyaya Shastra, that a cobbler is sitting on the side of a road, mending the shoes, and the king goes past with all the big parade and brass band and Maharaj Ki Jai Ho, and the cobbler doesn't even notice because he's so much absorbed in making a nice design for making the new shoes. But even though there's so much stimuli for his senses, people calling out and so many, he doesn't even notice because he's absorbed. So the same thing, if we become absorbed in our service to Krishna, what are we doing for Krishna? We're not just floating around, okay, chant a little, eat a little, sleep a little, but doing something very positively, engaged in Krishna's service, then we won't even notice this big sign, enjoy me, enjoy this. We won't even register in our consciousness. Because how can you even think of enjoying that? Because the consciousness is absorbed. I have this service to do for Krishna. So it's very good to be intensely absorbed in service. Tivrena bhakti yoga. Tivrena means very intensely absorbed in bhakti yoga. Then controlling the mind becomes more easy. But we should never think it's easy. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Please. Comment, please.
The word jaya means victory, but here...
means wife. Jaya.
Jaya.
Jaya. It's feminine form of jaya. Jaya.
No, but is jaya with the wrong ending as well also?
No.
But this,
okay. Oh, then it's a different word, yeah.
So jaya, jaya.
Yeah, it's a different...
wife.
Jaya means wife, yeah.
What's
yeah.
The derivation,
I don't know. I bring out the Sanskrit dictionary. It's a name for Lakshmi also.
One who has a good wife, he becomes victorious.
That's also, he can conquer. That's also, he can conquer over fall down by having a good wife. That's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam.
And also the word Madha.
Which word?
Well, not here in verse, but Kanpro.
Mother, yeah.
Mother, Mother. So mother's... that means madness. Sometimes it's also translated as crying.
Durmadandhan. That's there in Bhagavatam?
No.
That's there in Bhagavatam? Why should the learned persons go to flatter those who are blinded by, who are proud with their wealth? Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhana durmadandhan. Why should the learned people flatter those who are proud with and blind with their wealth? Mother, in that sense, uses pride. Pride is madness. There's no, it's the same thing. Why should anyone be proud? What is there to be proud about?
It's a particular type of madness, right?
Yeah. Well, madness can also, that means our whole situation is one of madness. But sometimes that becomes more intense. Just when someone becomes very proud, I am the Lord of all I survey. The sannyasis come to me for donations, so they depend on me, I'm giving them more. Prabhupada gives this example. This of someone who's...
Is that a more explicit translation than it actually is closer to...
Mother would generally be translated as pride in the Sanskrit dictionary, but then Prabhupada usually gives the word madness. There are many similar words, actually. In the Gita, there's that verse, the symptoms of the demons. The first verse given that Dambo Darpa Abhiman is cha. So Dambo Darpa Abhiman, they're all just different kinds of false pride.
Also, Punschali. Prabhupada, once he described that, there's, I think, two or three different kinds of women.
Right, yeah.
Mahanchali was one of them.
Yeah.
Which one is, she's very easily influenced.
Easily moved.
Moved by other men. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember the other ones? Do you know if those other ones are?
There are many words for women. One actually is related to this word kam, kamini. Kamini means one who increases or stimulates lust.
Some ladies have that name.
Well, if it's in relation with Krishna, that's very nice. And that means stimulating Krishna's desires. And that also comes in the Bhagavatam, that it's round the other way too, that a man, the same thing, just like all the warnings are generally given, men should be careful of women. But the same thing round the other way too. That men, they may also... And generally the whole ambition of modern society, how people dress, how they talk, how they walk, they're just simply trying to show off to the opposite sex, that's all. So kamini, there are many names. And so, then there's ramani, means one who is enjoyed. Rama, ramani. Rama, ramas. Stri, that word is there. Vistar means great. So stri means one who increases. Just like one of my friends was a brahmachari. He used to go everywhere with a small bag. Then I saw him after he was married with three big suitcases. And I said, hey, you got married, right? He used to travel with a small bag, but then when he had a wife, then he had to have two suitcases full of saris and all this kind of thing. So there are many words like that.
Yoshit. He said there's three kinds of women. Dara, and Kunstchali.
Yeah, yeah.
In one lecture he describes like
yeah, I can't remember just now.
Swaini.
Yeah, that's right.
Swairini
means one who is independent.
Yeah.
Just goes here and there. Independently. As soon as you have any, the question is, at what stage are you qualified to preach to others verbally? As soon as you have any conviction, at any stage, about Krishna consciousness, you can tell others. If you think chanting Hare Krishna is very nice, you can tell others. You may not even know why it's nice. You can tell others chanting Hare Krishna is very nice. At any stage. But then we should preach according to our realization also.
But we're supposed to maintain, particularly in the early stage, we're supposed to maintain our humble position and consider ourselves, consider others more advanced than ourselves.
Well, we should always at every stage, not only in the beginning, try to be humble and consider others more advanced. In fact, as we go on more, those qualities should increase more. But we're being trained as preachers, as madhyamadhikari, means preaching level devotee. We're being trained